Welcome to Shas Illuminated. Please enjoy the following shiur.
Good afternoon to the chevra. It's already been a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful day. This is not said to gloat to the chevra at all, like I told you so. That's not the energy. I actually want to tell you one day with your own families. You're one day going to have a Chol HaMoed or some Sunday. You want to do something with your teenage children. And you might ask them, there'll be a certain reluctance. Encourage them and go. Once this morning, there was a little bit of reluctance for the Chevra. I don't know, it's hot. And it's been such a beautiful time. So I want to thank everybody for joining in. Of course, Rabbi Brown said, yeah. It's a little bit funny. This is Rabbi Sunshine Shul. And it's a little bit funny that I'm here introducing Rabbi Sunshine in his own shul. But I really want to talk to the guys for a few minutes. I want to say that 25 years ago, we both came to this city together. We were involved in starting a yeshiva. There was an idea. There was a thought. I want to say that the Siyata Deshmaya, the heavenly assistance that we've seen over these 25 years, a little bit I spoke about it, Yantiv, Bayas, Shavuos, Bayas, a little bit on Shabbos and on Shavuos, but the Siyata Deshmaya, the heavenly assistance we've seen is Lo Yeuman. And from the start, it was like very, very daunting. The sense we both came here, we were a lot younger than we are today, still young, but a lot younger back then. And there was a sense of like, oh my goodness, this is above us. And we've seen tremendous, tremendous Siyata Deshmaya over the years in this whole journey. And I want to express that, the Siyata Deshmaya, but I want to say that Rabbi Sunshine has been personally a very, very strong friend and influence on my life. And on the whole development and everything that's gone on over the years in the yeshiva, it's been a long process. The yeshiva's been, if the word evolving or growing, like every individual is called upon to be a Ben Aliyah, to grow. The yeshiva, I think, again, was beautiful back then. But Baruch Hashem, we've learned new things along the way. And guys today are standing on the shoulders of earlier guys. Each one has added, has brought, has developed things. And I want to say that from the start, Rabbi Sunshine's been a massive force in what's gone on. It's a place of a lot, the yeshiva's a place of a lot of space and the understanding of different types and different needs for the journey to think, really to understand broadly people and make room. It takes an understanding of people. It takes a nice boil to really understand. And Rabbi Sunshine has, as a friend of mine, has expanded, has taught me a tremendous amount in understanding and trying to understand and seeing a little broader, a little deeper, a little more. A lot of the Rebbeim in the yeshiva, Rabbi Wisnicki is a Talmud of Rabbi Sunshine, Rabbi Oberlander, who put tremendous amount, his Yartzai is coming in a week, his Yartzai, as we spoke about him, Shavuos, he was a Talmud Chaver of Rabbi Sunshine. Rabbi Silverman, who's a Talmud of Rabbi Oberlander, certainly has been impacted by Rabbi Sunshine. Rabbi Shapiro is a Talmud of Rabbi Sunshine. He's a Mispalel. He davens in the very shul we're sitting in. So I really just want to appreciate a friend who has a tremendous chelik in our yeshiva, in the growth, in the sincerity, in the awareness, in the sophisticated conversation. Every Beis Medrash has chedushim. There's what to learn from every Beis Medrash. There's a tremendous amount to learn from our Beis Medrash. We all have a tremendous pride in our Beis Medrash. One of the people who really empowered and taught and encouraged and was very part of building what's precious in our Beis Medrash is Rabbi Sunshine. So as a friend, I wanted to thank Rabbi Sunshine. It's important to me. We've done Q&A, we've done question and answers. We've done this a few years running now. We've done question and answers some years. I thought this year to ask Rabbi Sonnenschein to speak. The plan was to have some songs. Shlomo and Yehuda both brought their guitars. Hashem, Shlomo should just have Refuah Shlema. He's getting stitches. So we'll see if he comes in middle. So we'll see. Well, maybe we'll sing together. We'll see. But really, tremendously appreciate Rabbi Sonnenschein ran back from New York and is here and giving time, precious time that is scarce. That's not so easy. I appreciate Rabbi Sonnenschein's time tremendously, and I'm excited for the guys to get to hear Divrei Torah. Maybe in between, we'll sing Tzamen in between. But I really appreciate the guys being here and getting the chance to hear from Rabbi Sonnenschein Shlita.
Shkaya. You know, there's this shiur that I give in different places. Maybe we'll do it one day in Durham. And it's a shiur about how to speak. I do it, you know, I recruit for landers in Eretz Yisrael sometimes. So a few months ago, I came to a yeshiva there, and they had me speak at 6 o'clock, and I saw these guys were all recruited out. You know, every yeshiva, you know what it's like, every yeshiva's... You know, and I was standing there, and I just was like, "Do you guys want to hear a shiur, or do you want to talk about how to speak?" And it was very enjoyable. And I have certain rules, and I feel a tremendous hesitation when I step up to break my own rules. But sometimes you have to break your own rules. And the one of my main rules about speaking, I'm sure the Olam will agree with me, is don't start speaking discussing what happened when you were asked to speak. Nobody wants to hear, nobody cares. When I was asked to speak, I was thinking, like, are you going to speak or you're not going to speak? But I have to break that rule. It's not that I really want to talk about what happened when I was asked to speak. I want to talk about what I feel like sitting here and speaking, because it's a little bit surreal. And the reason for that is that when you get up to speak in front of an olam, so sometimes you speak to an olam that you know, and sometimes you speak to an olam that you don't know. When you speak to an olam that you don't know, it's natural that you build defenses around yourself because you don't know me. It's hard for me to be vulnerable in front of you because you don't know me. There's a strange crowd. That's a hergish that you have, a feeling that you have when you get up to speak. When you're speaking to people that you know, if you work on yourself, you can get up and just be yourself. And today, I have a very, very interesting feeling speaking. Schmoozing, I should say. And the feeling that I have is that I don't know you, and I do know you. And the don't know you is because most of the guys in this room, you know, there was a time a few years ago that I had this chus of coming to yeshiva twice a week and giving a shir, and it was a very, very enjoyable tkufa, but Hashem had other plans. And now I don't have the opportunity to do that, and it's been quite a while since I've been on the campus. So in that sense, there are a lot of people in the room. There are some familiar faces. But there are a lot of people in the room that we've never met. Certainly have never schmoozed. But on the other hand, as Rabbi Kalish alluded to, the generations of the yeshiva are really all connected. And the truth is that you could be in the same yeshiva as someone and two different times, and there's still a sense of connection to that person. You know, I don't know if you heard there was a... It was a terrorist attack about 2 weeks ago where a pregnant woman was killed, Lo Yaleinu. Her husband was a Talmud of our yeshiva. And the Mashgiach in the yeshiva got up to speak. Not one single Talmud of the yeshiva was there at the same time as this guy. The Hanhala was. I wasn't. But it was still a moment for the yeshiva. One of our guys was going through this. I, not one single guy knew him. But we do know him because we're the same yeshiva. And it's more than that. I know this yeshiva. I know the values of this yeshiva. And one of the very, very important values of this yeshiva is the ability to stop hiding behind things and be able to just express without hiding behind things. Even in terms of saying Divrei Torah, which I would love to share Divrei Torah, but it's very important to know when I'm using Divrei Torah as a way to hide behind what I want to say, and when I'm using Divrei Torah to bring out the point that I want to say. It's a very, very different kind of speech. So I'm going to go out on a limb and speak to an Olam that most of you I don't know, but I'm going to speak as if I do know. I know Moshe, I know Yaakov. And there was a certain hashgacha, and I was thinking about what to say, what to talk about. There was a certain hashgacha that, and hashgacha follows us when we're doing important things. Hashgacha follows us. It's like, it's sometimes uncanny. It's sometimes, I had a story just to share with you. I had a story literally 2 weeks ago. I was on the phone driving to New York. I was on the phone with a woman who has an eighth grade son in a yeshiva somewhere. And that boy, she's divorced, it's been a tough time, and that boy hasn't gone to yeshiva this year. And she was trying to figure out where he should go for high school, and he hasn't been in yeshiva. So she told me, somebody told her to speak to Rabbi, I don't want to say the names here, but let's give him a name, let's say Rabbi Reuven Feinberg, okay? Rabbi Reuven Feinberg. So, fine, you should speak, this person told her to speak to this guy. Like, I wish I could talk to that guy because I know what this kid needs. I wish I could spend a few minutes with this guy. And I'm driving to New York, but there's no way. I never heard of the guy in my life. Anyway, that night, like about 10 hours later, I was in Lakewood and at a wedding. And they call up the Masada Kedushin, Rabbi So-and-so, Mechobu would see the Kedushin. Eide Kedushin, Rabbi Sonnenschein from Waterbury and Rabbi Reuven Feinberg. Okay? And the Masada Kedushin tells me, you need to be an Eid Yichud. I just want to warn you, don't run away. So we sat there in front of the Yichud room, schmoozing about this kid, 10 hours before I never heard of the guy in my life. I was telling a story to my brother. He was like, Yossi, it's not your schus. This woman is a heilige woman. You know? But when you're doing important things, you know, there's a siyata d'shmaya, where Kalish started off talking about friendship. I felt it was a simon for me to talk about friendship because literally, while I was driving here, I was speaking on the phone with a very special Chassidus Yid that I talk to from time to time, who's dealing with some things, with some addiction issues. And out of the blue, he said to me, can you just tell me, how do we do friendship? How do you get friends? How do you do friendship? It's a tough question. Any ideas? How do you get friends? How do you not spend your time alone? And it's interesting. I think sometimes the world thinks that friends are people that you do stuff that both of you like together. It's nice. It's nice if you both like sports and you watch sports together. That's nice. But I don't know, would you define that as friends? Is that a friend? How do you get friends? This is a married man with a few children from Williamsburg. Any ideas? Any advice for this guy? How are you doing? I told him, I don't know if the Olam will be maskim to me. I told him there's no way for you to get friends. There's no path of going to get friends. I know that there's a book out there, How to Win Friends. I'm not a huge fan of the book, happens to be, for different reasons. I don't think that you become a friend. I don't think that you get friends by going to get friends. Go do this, talk like this, say this thing, make eye contact. I don't think so. I think the only way to do friendship right is to be a good friend. You can't get friends. You could just be a friend. if a person focuses on being a friend, so then eventually he'll become a magnet for friends, I think. But to try to go and search out friends, notwithstanding, with B'mechilas Kvoid, Bill Carnegie, what's his first name?
Dale
Carnegie. I don't think that that's the inyan. I think the inyan is to be a friend. Can I be a friend? Am I healthy enough? Am I secure enough to be someone's friend? What does it mean to be a friend? How do I be a friend? It's a few parts, I think, to being a friend. One part, believe it or not, I think is curiosity. I think if I'm not curious about anyone else outside of myself, it's very, very hard to enter the world of friendship. I think a genuine curiosity about other people, that's what's going to bring us together. That's what creates friends. Sometimes when we're very wrapped up in ourselves because we're dealing with things, it's hard to develop that curiosity to be interested in what's happening by the person next to me. But the truth is that if I have the ability to reach outside of myself and the ability just to be interested when someone else is talking. You ever see two people talking and they're literally both, sometimes it can be five people talking, but they're literally both just talking at each other. They're literally both just talking. There cannot no back and forth. They're just both talking, directing their words to the other person. The other person's talking, directing his words back. That's not curiosity. Curiosity is that I care what you have to say. I'm interested in what's happening by you. Your life is interesting to me. You're an entire world to me, and I care. I'm not even talking about caring because I'm so soft-hearted and I care. I'm talking about stam curiosity. I live in this world, and your life is very different than mine. And I'm interested in that. I want to hear about you. I'm curious about you. When you tell me what happened yesterday, I'm not at the same time telling you what happened to me. I'm listening because this is important to me. I want to know what's doing by you. That kind of curiosity. That's Aleph. Maybe it's easy for me to talk about curiosity because I'm naturally very, very curious. But I don't think I've ever spoken to somebody, with one exception. I don't mean one person. I mean one type of... Yehuda, good to see you. Do you see Yehuda's here?
Just
talk about generations of the yeshiva. With one exception of one kind of person, I've always found it so fascinating to listen to other people talk about themselves. And I get mussar from it. I'm not talking about people who give mussar. I don't get mussar from that necessarily. But I'm talking about people just talking about themselves. What's doing by them, what's how, just stam, just schmoozing. The one person that I have a hard time being curious about is the person that I feel when they're talking to me that they've given that speech before. Do you know what I mean? That they've said this narrative before. This is what they say. Hi, I, you know, play, press play, you know. That kind of thing that automatic, even if I never heard it before, it feels boring to me. But if someone is talking and I take interest in them, I have a tremendous amount to learn. It brings people closer to each other, just that we have interest in each other's lives. I'm going to tell you three things. The second thing, this is a hard thing. The second thing is listening to people talk about themselves with curiosity and without judgment, with zero judgment. This has nothing to do. This is not a frumkeit thing. That's not what I mean. This is a human thing. When I listen to other people, somebody asked me this. How do you listen to somebody without judgment? Any suggestions?
Don't judge them.
No? Yeah, but I'm happy that you said that because. Because for me, sometimes and at various times of my life, I would find myself automatically in my mind judging. Not so easy for me to just make a decision. Oh, don't judge them. Okay, fine, got that. I find myself judging. I find myself, you know what it is? It's not that I find myself judging. I find myself comparing. I find myself comparing myself to that person. How do I avoid doing that? And it's a dangerous thing, because it right away puts that person into a box. What? But that. So that's the real question here, because how am I making friends if I'm not listening to the person? And how am I listening to the person without judgment? You said we all make judgments.
Everything in life is about judgment.
Is it?
When you walk in somewhere, you're judging the room, whether it's a good judgment or bad. Everything is judgment. Using your brain to think about how something works. You're judging based on if this person's going to move when I'm walking, when you're driving down the street. You're taking a judgment call about passing a car.
Right. So I think that you're talking about is when I'm being curious about what you're saying. So that judgment that you're talking about is not much as much judgment as much as I'm not deciding whether it's good or bad, right or wrong, better than me or worse than me, stronger than me or weaker than me. I'm not making that call. I'm just trying to really understand what you're saying. But I'm talking about how not to judge, how not to be talking to someone.
What is wrong with judging someone? I'm saying you're making it sound like judging is like this like negative thing, like anyone I'm going to judge negatively. But even if you do judge someone negatively, like, wow, this guy's in like a really bad place in life, like you could still be empathetic to like, that's a tough thing. Like we're bound to judge people based off our previous life experiences and what we've seen and like witnessed.
I think that's, first of all, I think it's a very, very, very valid point. It's 100% true. I think that maybe that comes in a later stage. That's what I think. I want to tell you something. What you just described, I am a professional at that. Okay? I'm trying to learn how to not do that. And what I mean is like this. I've gone through whatever I've gone through in my life. I have my experiences. I've done what I've done. I've accomplished what I've accomplished. And I have failed at what I've failed at. When you're talking, if I am just listening to you through the lens of my experience, I'm not getting to know you and you're not getting to know me. I'm not really listening to you then. I'm really just like, you know, I for years I've always had this like pet peeve where you like tell someone like, you know what I did? I started a thing. I start running in the morning. I run 10 miles a day. And the guy says, oh, well, I used to run it. Like, no, we were just talking about me. You know what I mean? Like the person right away has to like, oh yeah, but me, but you know what it's like by me. You know, like, you know, I just went out to eat. I never tasted a steak like that. Oh yeah, and one time I went out to eat. Like, calm down. Let's talk about my steak now.
Well, people who excessively do that are definitely like, I've run into people like that and it's annoying. I've probably even like been that person at times. But that is also how a conversation works. Like, you know, there is a push and pull in a conversation.
1,000%. But it's a very fine difference of how fast I switch to my steak, right? That's really where it is. And it may sound like nothing, but it really is a bit, and it does get annoying. When you're like, you know, I played a game of tennis yesterday. It was pickleball today, right? You know, like, you know, it was a killer game. Oh, yeah, I played last week. Like, you know, like, okay, good. We'll talk about that in a minute. Can I please revel in that I won 3 games straight yesterday? Like, and I think, but getting back to the other thing that you said, the judging, I'm often not even hearing when I'm judging that fast. I'm not really taking it in. I'm not really getting to know that person. I'm getting to know how that person compares with me.
That's you're saying the goal is just not comparing. Just he's a person, I'm a person.
Yeah.
He's
yeah. Better. Yeah. But the fascinating thing is that it's so natural to compare that it is something that we have to work. I'm a rav of a shul. Okay. I love my shul. Fantastic. Okay. I walk into another shul and I'm watching the rav there. Okay? I watch that Rav. Trust me, you've never watched a Rav like I watch that Rav. Okay? I watch what he does, and I have, and the early years, I'm doing this my 20th year. Okay? The early years, it wasn't always healthy. Like, okay, good speech, not as good as mine. Okay, I see how he's talking to this guy. Nice. I think I could do better. You know, like it was like a natural thing, and it came from an insecurity. It came from like this need to rate and to do well and to be successful and to, you know, and to feel like I'm being successful at what I'm doing. But it was a natural thing I went through for years. A natural thing that I would watch someone do something and then start reflecting back. Can I do that? How does that work for me? Why could he do that? What does that mean? Is that the right thing to do? And I've been with people who are sometimes, it gets to the point of really unhealthy, where there's almost like an agenda, and I'm sure I'm not the only one in the room that has been with people, where there's like an agenda to walk out of the room having passeled and put an X on every single person. There's such an agenda. You know, I walk into a shul, I need to walk out and saying, the Rav, no good, the Gabbai, no good, the President, no good, the Mispalim, no good, the lights, no good, you know. What?
Is it that you're thinking about that and thinking I can make my shul better from this, or
that would be? First of all, thank you. That was my excuse. Thank you. That was great. Thank you. Yeah, that's a good cover. That's a good cover. It's a good cover that I can criticize you and be judgmental and say I saw the way he does that. I could do better because I'm really just checking because I want to make sure I'm doing a good job. But the real truth is that it came from, for me at least, it came from an insecurity, like a desperation to do a good job. Do you know the difference?
You can take it from being a judgmental desperation, whatever thing, and make it better.
Yeah, like, that's for sure. That's for sure. Look, I want to tell you something. Many, many, many times, it did make my shul better. It doesn't mean it was the healthiest way to go about it. Yeah, and 100%. 100%.
The first thought that comes into your head, you might judge it a little bit, but then your work is to not judge it. That's the whole thing.
Right. Yeah, 100%. A little bit, like, I think that's already an accomplishment. In other words, if I fall into that thing, I come in and I'm listening to someone or watching someone or schmoozing with someone, and I right away move into judgment. And then I say, one second, I should not be doing that. And I take a step back. That's a huge accomplishment. But what?
That's how it is when anyone tells you. If someone tells you something bad, automatically you're going to start judging them a little bit, but your job is to not continue judging.
I have met people, believe it or not, I have met people, one of them is sitting next to me, I have met people who could listen to someone and not judge them right away.
Zero judgment.
It's impossible. It's not possible because you're looking at a person and you're judging them.
I look at you,
you have a beard, right?
No, the judgment would be I don't like his beard.
No, but judgment could also be I like the beard.
Or I like the beard, but an opinion about it, that's the judgment.
Yeah, but looking at somebody, you automatically judge them. But by the way somebody's dressed, you can understand what kind of person they are. You get a feel from them, even if that's not it, but it's showing. It's true,
but paskening on it. You know what I mean? Like.
The way
I don't hold of that.
If you walk down the street, you see somebody dressed in a super tie, you see somebody dressed in rags.
Right.
Your judgment for the fact of if you needed help with something, I'd assume you go over to the person in the suit.
Right, but you're talking about learning about the person. I'm talking about judging. Good or bad, right or wrong.
The whole thing, your analysis of the person is because you judge them. You judge them based on their appearance. It's the first thing you notice about somebody, what they look like,
right,
before they open their mouth.
100%. 100,000%. I would even caution about that, by the way. But 100%. But there's a big difference if I see the guy in a suit and the guy in rags, and in my mind, the guy in the suit, that's cool. The guy in rags, not so much. That's the judgment. It's not understanding that the guy in rags must be someone who needs help and maybe not in such a position to help me. That's not judgment. That's analyzing. Let's call that analyzing. That's understanding judgment. The situation.
You're using your judgment to analyze the person. You're walking down the street, you're looking at the person, you're judging them, and that's how you get your analysis. That's...
What do you think?
Too much?
No, I'll...
Get him out of here.
I broke the code.
I'll tell you what, judging would be, there's a point that I'm making that you're not understanding right now. That's a metzias. That's what I'm analyzing. Judging would be, you don't get it. You're not one of these guys that gets it. That would be judging. Analyzing would be, how can I explain myself better that this guy understands it? He doesn't understand what I'm saying. That's the difference. You see how, is that cool what I just did? That's the difference between judging and analyzing. Think about it.
It seems like it doesn't have to do with other people. It's just like your self-image and how you feel about yourself.
100%.
It's not like a study of what happens when you walk into a room and see something. It's something to do with another person.
Right, but you know, that's when you see it. That's when you come in contact with it.
Sure.
That is when you come in contact with it. You know?
I'm asking, but that's the area that needs to be worked on? Like,
It's the best time to work on it. It's not the area that needs to be. He's 100% right. The nekuda is inside of me. Am I comfortable with myself? 1,000%. In fact, I want to tell you something. Naturally, why would anyone judge another person? That's crazy. Does anybody want to be judged? Like, why would we do that? It doesn't make any sense. It must be that there's something inside of me that I need to protect by judging other people. It's pasha, right? So you're 100% right. I could sit in a room alone without any friends and just work on feeling comfortable with myself. But I'm not going to know that I got there until I go to a wedding and I meet 20 friends and I see how I feel when I walk out the door. Am I feeling good about myself then? Or am I either feeling like trash myself or I'm trashing them in my head? And that's the moment that I had an incident this Yontif here, okay? I don't know if it's my own... I don't know. Yax, come sit down. What? I don't know if it's my own issues or if it's the Siyata Dishmaya. I can't answer that. Okay? But I have like a lot of little stories like this that maybe because of the stuff that I'm involved with. But there was a guy in Shul, this Yontif. I wonder if you've had this. I was very, very busy with him with something in Sugya with his family a few months ago. Everything went, I come into shul, this Yontif, he's not talking to me. I have no idea why. We sit together by a kiddush on Shabbos. We sit together by a kiddush. We always sit around the table together. You remember those days, Yehuda? You know? And,
it wasn't me, by the way.
No. That would be very clever of me, but no. What?
He was in.
Oh, really? Oh, nice. Oh, you should know that yesterday by the Nila Sachag, I was thinking, where's Yehuda? So. It's so funny, you know, like. Anyway, I'm sitting by the Kiddush. This guy doesn't sit in his regular seat. He sits on the other end of the table. He's there, but he's not there. He's part of the Tzibur, but he's not talking to me. I shouldn't say so many details. He comes around, you know. We were circling around some point on Yontif. I'm like, Yontif. He's with his kids. Yontif. Okay. Now this is machlokes between me and my wife. Okay, my wife is like, you're very busy. You have one less person to talk to. It's a win. Like, what's the big deal? Yax, right? But me, and Yax, by the way, because Yax, when this happens, Yax wants to kill the person. For me, I go home, and I'm chazering in my head every single word I said to the guy in the last 6 months, and I'm trying to figure out, what did I do to bother this person? What's going on? What happened? And then I start telling myself, am I successful with anyone? Did I help anyone? I'll drive my wife crazy. Did I help anyone? Tell me one person I helped. And then 10 tenths of a second later, I'll be like, you say you can't think of anyone. I, you know, like that kind of like sensitivity. When we have sensitivities like that, like we feel like we need to be successful, we need proof that we're successful, that kind of thing, that's what leads us, that when we meet someone else, we need to place everyone somewhere. To just be like, wow, I'm so impressed with that person. For me, let's say, to walk into a shul and be just like, wow, I have so much to learn from that Rav. I'm just so, so, so impressed with him. The Maisa, he doesn't know. No, not to do that. Oh, but the Maisa, no. He's just an impressive guy. That's it. That's a Nisayan. That's a difficult thing. And we get much healthier when we work on that. And friendship-wise, that's what I'm talking about. Friendship-wise, I'm talking about I'm curious about you. And that when you're telling me about yourself, there's zero psak. I'm not paskening, it's good, it's bad, I would do that, I wouldn't do that. That's not the conversation at all. I'm just drinking it in. I'm taking it in. This is this guy. Fascinating, amazing. This is this person. That's the second thing. The third thing that I think of the three pieces of friendship. How are you, Rabbi Zon? The third.
Could you actually say that this is a person that doesn't judge anyone? Like, that's not human nature to not just hear something from someone and not judge at all.
A little bit. I want to tell you something. I'm happy that I'm here today. I'm happy that I'm here today just to be mechadesh that there's such a thing, believe it or not, there is such a thing as being so confident in yourself and happy with yourself that you could listen to someone talk with zero judgment. I think it's something to strive for. I don't know. I've had moments of it that I could tell you.
I thought you struggled. Could you relate? I think anybody could relate to moments in our life where things are like ridiculously good that then we could relate to that. We're in such a good space. We're happy. Some good news. We just like wouldn't even think to judge. You're just excited by something.
It depends on what you're hearing. If you're hearing something simple, then maybe you won't judge them. The more the thing becomes bigger, then you are going to have at least a beginning talk of judgment.
Can you picture a guy, Yisrael's wife just had a baby, he had his first child. Could you think that day he's judging people?
Probably not, but if some dude came and told him I just stabbed someone, he'd probably
within reason.
That's a pretty...
A lot of money.
But even that, somebody called me today that his company realized that a guy stole a few $100s from him. Okay? I'm listening to the story. Because of the details of the story, I had to ask who it was, and it's someone that I know. Okay?
Do you think you didn't, at least in the beginning, like, what did this dude do that was not right? Do you think in the beginning of when you heard it, you weren't thinking that at all?
Is it not judging?
No, I what I was thinking of, which is exactly, you know, again, if it was a different type of thing, you know where I struggle with it? I struggle with it in areas that I'm struggling. I'm not, right, I'm not struggling with stealing money from a business. So when I hear that, I could have the sense of like, this is what my first thought was. What could this guy possibly be going through that drove him to do that? That was my first thought.
Is that not a judgment, though?
You think that's a judgment?
I'm not trying to understand somebody. I'm not putting things. Okay, I'm understanding.
I'm not judging right or wrong. I'm not judging. I'm not being Hashem and deciding if he should have done that or not done that. I'm not doing any of that. I'm just saying to myself, I believe that people are good people. I have a hanach. I believe people are good people. So if someone did something that I think is wrong, in my mind, I'm like, what drove him to do that? What?
Is it not judging? Let's say the case you're saying where, like, you can get so full with yourself and so good with yourself, you're not going to judge someone. Is it not judging, or it's not judging negatively? You're going to start giving him the benefit of the doubt. Like, oh, the reason he did that is probably... You're still judging him. It's just you're giving him the benefit of the doubt, and you're trying to say, like, oh, okay, maybe he didn't mean that, or maybe he didn't... I think a person's automatically judging it, just whether it's negative or positive. And when you... I think when you're saying...
Well, maybe it's not negative or positive. It's more like the jury is still out. I'm not making that call.
The benefit of the doubt, but you're also... You're saying, well, I reckon you did something, but I assume you wouldn't do that, or whatever, or, like, assumptions. I know you're a good person, so, like, there's got to be a different reason. But it's not even a judgment. It's just giving him the judgment.
Saying I don't know is I'm not being the judge. I just don't know.
Let me put it this way, okay? If you're right...
Let's make sure
that we don't end up discussing the translation of a word.
I think people are getting disconnected when you're saying you don't judge. It just means that you're just judging positive. You're giving him the positive. You're giving him the benefit of the doubt.
It's like
people are still like, oh, but that's judging him.
It's not the benefit of the doubt. It's more like, I don't know.
Right. It's not
here. Right? And it's also something else. When you're talking about someone that says, I did something wrong, so then we can talk about...
The guy that called you up that stole money, it automatically gets a judgment. The question is, oh, there must be a reason, or I don't get the story fully, or people are still taking that. Oh, that's sort of a judgment. So it's
what?
Using assessment with judgment.
Right. As I said, analysis with judgment. Yeah. Yeah. Right, that's the...
I think I'd much rather a guy judge me negatively and say, I wonder what he's going through to do that. For an example, like let's say I'll be.
I actually hear that.
Let's say I'll be a guy that says I hate watering. I'll just be like, okay, he's lost in the sauce. He doesn't know. When I meet somebody who says like, I love watering, a guy could come with a ponytail and leave a crude pint of butter. I'm like, get that guy. Like, it's kind of like the same thing. Like,
what
if you
what is
judge
the
me negatively and save a bad person? I'll be like,
but
hey,
what? But what?
Like, I wonder what he's going through. It's like, yo, my.
What bothers you? What bothers you about it?
What?
What bothers you about it?
About what?
That guy that says about Waterbury. What bothers you about that? Why does that bother you?
You're scared you're not being genuine. You're scared you're not being genuine.
What bothers you about it? Yeah, he's missing the point. Like, that's not what Waterbury is. I don't know. Like,
what do you mean?
Pisses me off.
What do you mean?
He says like, I hate Waterbury. It's just like, hey, hate Waterbury. You have your pitch. The guy who's saying, like, what the fairy takes the guy who's off the derech and helps him learn Torah, like...
What bothers you about that?
It's just not the point. Like, which I don't guy, think that's what we're doing.
What are we doing?
Why is he using that voice?
I think we're trying to help create people that understand their emotions, express their emotions, like themselves.
Okay, so you're talking about that there are people that will judge because of a certain short-sightedness, because they're not getting it, they'll make a judgment, and it's almost like patronizing. It's almost like I'm not your Pesach Kron story, you know, like I'm not your Mishpacha magazine article, you know, like, you know, this is real, and this is honest, and this is for real, and we're having real conversations, and it's a little bit like missing. I understand what you're saying, and I do appreciate that sensitivity about, like, I wonder what he's going through. But let me just give you one piece of information that might change it for you. This is a guy I know very, very well. So then, when it's a guy I know well, it's more like, this is a good guy. That's what I mean, I wonder what he's going through. This is a good guy. You hear what I'm saying? I'm not like, oh, I know everyone's really a tzaddik inside. I'll find the pintel of yid. I don't mean that.
But the reason you're empathetic to that is because you've already judged this guy as a good guy, and that's why you're giving him the benefit of the doubt in the situation. If you didn't know this guy from a hole in the wall, and the first guy came to you and said, this guy stole money from my company, you'd probably be like, that's an uncool thing to do, and you'd at least subconsciously judge the thief as like not a good guy on some level. Whereas since you've already judged this guy based on past experience with him as a good guy, you're much quicker to
I promised myself I was going to be completely honest here, so I'm going to be completely, completely honest with you. It's not true. I would not judge the person. It's not true. In fact, I part of what I do is that people who do very, very, very bad things come to speak to me. You could ask Rabbi Kalish. They come to speak. There are therapists out there that send people to me when they do very bad things. Okay? And I sit with them, And one of the hardest things that I deal with...
One example and one name.
You know, there's a... give me just 1 second. There's a book that was written by a rabbi, and he writes in the introduction to the book, I left out every story that would have made this a bestseller. So for this speech, I'm leaving out every story that would make it a bestseller.
Can I try to clarify? I think a little bit the backlash that Rabbi's getting, I don't know if anyone here is even disagreeing, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
It sounds like Rabbi's coming from a little bit of a perspective of like, a guy tells me something, and it almost like goes in one ear out the other, like no effect on you. And everyone's like, if someone tells you something, you think something, you think good, you think bad, you think, maybe you think bad, and then you think, oh, but I can't judge him because I don't know his story. Even as you're saying it, you're saying someone comes and tells me something that he did really bad. And I think what he could be going through, even you saying that someone comes and tells you that he did something really bad, it sounds like a judgment. You just judge that he did something really bad because we all think stealing $1 million is really bad.
Right, but you're talking...
And then where you go...
You're
where
talking
you go
about...
That,
you're talking about... Maybe this is the thing, okay? Maybe this is the thing. I'm working with you here, okay? Maybe the thing is that I am judging... But I'm judging the action. But I'm not judging the person who's doing the action.
I think so. I think everyone would even...
Is that... Could that does that make sense to you?
I think everyone would be masking me even that. Okay, so you have a judgment about the action. Oh my God, somebody did something really bad. Oh, it doesn't make him a bad person. Meaning, I don't know if he's a good guy or bad guy. I have no idea where he holds in the...
Right. Okay, I think that's good. I think that's good.
On this massive scale that we all know.
Right, right. I think you're right. You hear what he's saying?
I think people would even agree.
You know, I always had this kasha. I'm curious about Kalish has a pshat. I always had this kasha. The Mishnah says to be dan lekaf schos. It also says al tadin es chavercha. What's the pshat? Yaakov, what's the pshat? How could it say at the same time, judge favorably and don't judge your friend?
Maybe it's what he's saying about...
What's the pshat? What? Yeah, but it's... Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, it's what he's saying that once you already have a judgment of him... Once you already have that, so then you're good. You don't have to judge him. But a stranger, you don't have that original background.
I want to get to the third thing, but let me just tell you something about myself. Just to, maybe you'll understand a little bit about the judging part of it. In my own personal life, my childhood and so on, I've been through a tremendous, tremendous amount of pain. Tremendous amount of pain. And some of the pain was so bad that I didn't realize it until I was in my 30s, and even that I didn't realize until I was in my 40s, and even now I'm still coming to terms with understanding the tsar that I went through. And because of what I've been through, I've had to struggle with things myself. I've had to struggle with things that, you know, when I was much younger, the first thing, that, you know, one thing that comes to mind very strongly was when I was a young parent, I was sometimes a very angry parent. And I didn't understand why. And it wasn't really my personality. I think Rabbi Kaler still doesn't believe me. But Yax believes me.
Do you?
No, but his older siblings told him. and even being a Rav and a Rebbe and all of that was something that I, for a long time, I had to balance trying to really do a good job with sometimes these monstrous feelings inside of me. And because of that, I spent a lot of time, first of all, judging myself, and a lot of time hurt when people judged me. And maybe, I'm just thinking out loud now, you're pushing me to think, okay? Maybe the reason why I could listen to all these stories that I'm going to make that would make this a bestseller and not judge is because I've had to work so hard on not judging myself. Because if I would have to judge myself, when I judge myself, it's a very, very harsh judgment. Okay? And I built a home where my kids feel comfortable telling me things that bothered them about my upbringing, about their upbringing. So we had a yontif now, and I had married children by me with their families. And I'm proud of this, but it's not always easy. My kids will come, and they'll say, yeah, Ta, I'm in therapy for anxiety because when I was young, you didn't know how to deal with my anxiety. And they're right. Okay? Now, how lucky am I that my married children could come back to my house and tell that to me casually and feel accepted, saying, I wish that I could take my pain somewhere and just say, you know, I wish that someone could acknowledge, validate my tsar, and I don't have that. At least I could provide that for my children. But the truth of the matter is that I didn't even connect the two things. It could be that would have been a different schmooze. But the truth of the matter is perhaps there's you're right that there's a disconnect in the room, and you're pushing me to recognize that maybe that's the pshat and the disconnect. Maybe I truly could listen to really, really bad things and be like, I have had to learn to be Michael myself. I have had to learn to be okay with not being the person I want to be or doing the things I want to be. I'm okay. I'm a good guy. I work hard. I try hard. I'm a fighter. I keep trying. I tell my kids when they tell that to me is that with any bit of tsar that you've had from growing up in this house, at least you had a father that you saw working on himself. And they agree, thank goodness they agree about that. You know? And I don't even speak out the obvious reality that they could come back to my house and they could express that to me. So maybe that's the disconnect here. Maybe that's the avoida, perhaps. Perhaps it's not about working on it when someone else is talking to me. Maybe it's more like we were saying before. Maybe it's more about really, really, really coming to terms with ourselves. And really, really, truly being meichel and accepting who we are. And if we could reach that on a real level, maybe we won't have any need to judge other people, and maybe it won't be a first instinct. In other words, what's bothering the Olam here, it's not lost upon me. What's bothering you is not that I'm saying not to judge. You're good with that. What's bothering you is that I'm not admitting to an initial judgment. Right? That's what's bothering you. But everyone judges. You could then not judge. But everyone judges. And I'm looking in the mirror as you're talking, and I'm looking back at myself, and I'm realizing, first of all, I don't do that. No, there is possible to not do that. And it wasn't something I worked at in Musar Seder. It's something I worked at in Life Seder. It's something that I needed to survive. Maybe I'm backwards. Maybe if I would judge other people, so then I would also have to judge myself. And I also understand not to judge myself. I understand it as the years go on. I understand it. I went through difficult times. I dealt with it as best as I can. Rabbi Kalish knows me for a good part of that journey. I'm really dealing with it as best as I can. I go back to the drawing board. I try again. My wife and I are completely honest with each other, you know, which includes her saying, yeah, you better work on that, you know. And it could be that relationship with myself of being able to say, yeah, you got work to do. You're a good guy. You're one of the good guys. Maybe that helped me, that when people tell me all kinds of horrific things that they did, and yes, I did say horrific, but I don't think of them as horrific. You know, I have this thing that when a guy talks to me about this type of stuff, it's really, you know, a lot of it is infidelity in marriage and this type of stuff, I make a point of hugging the guy when we're done. even if I didn't know him before the conversation started, I need the guy to know that he could walk back into my office. I need the guy to know that I love him. And the truth is, I really should thank you. I didn't realize that I was weird. Thank you for pointing that out. I didn't realize. Did you realize? I thought I was normal that I don't judge people. You know, maybe. Do you recognize this? Am I making sense here?
Yeah.
You think I'm saying pshat? Yeah.
Did a guy ever walk out of your office and you couldn't?
You know, I'm going to be very, very, very honest with you, okay? And this is a very, I'm a little embarrassed to say this, but I, for the benefits of full disclosure, the real answer is no, but there is a time that a guy walks out of my office and I judge him, and that's when he attacks me. And that's not a good thing. I'm not strong enough yet to be the victim of an attack.
Why is
the
real answer no?
Because I realize that it's a childishness on my part. That when I'm attacked, it's also an expression of his pain. But I have a hard time if it turns on me. I have a little bit of a hard time with that. I'm not, maybe one day. But right now, if it turns on me, you know, then... You know, like sometimes I'll have like, you know, a guy comes in. I have sometimes, you know, like a very yeshivish guy or this and that because addictions and issues happen to everyone. And I'll feel like his response is like, oh, you do this like psychology. I'm not a psychologist, but like the way I'm talking, you know. Oh, you do this like therapy psychologist. Ah, that's the type. Ah, you're that type. I have a very hard time with that guy. I have a very hard time. Like, and it's not good, because that's his defense mechanism. And I do, Moshe, I will say, for one thing, is that I do fight through it. I try not to express it, but I have to go through it. I do need a little time to recover after that meeting. I'll put my, you know, I'll push, I'll make it through. Some of those guys have become my best friends. And I also, I want to tell you something. Like, I consider myself a very good judge of character. I completely miss it sometimes in the beginning. And I get, like, very, very bent out of shape. And I was reading the guy wrong. You know, a few weeks ago, I get a few weeks ago, someone wanted to call me about a shidduch, about a girl that lives here. And the way that he was talking to me, like he wanted to ask me information, I was like, I know that type. He's an abusive guy. I have a radar for abusive guys. I know, the guy's an abusive guy. And then he finally called me, and he's like, and I said, could I call you? Could you talk to me tomorrow? Tomorrow, 1 o'clock, and he's like, look, I had to wait this long to speak to you, but I can't do 1 o'clock. I'm giving share then, you know? So, like, I had to, like, work around his schedule, even though he wanted to call me. Like, that type, I was very turned off. And you're turned off, even me just telling you that conversation. And then I ended up speaking to him a few days later. He was the nicest guy in the world. He got it. I don't know what was going on in his life. You know, but it's interesting, and some of you may call me out on it. I judged. I did judge, because when I feel it on myself, when it's at me, it's very hard for me. That's hard for me. I'm working on it. And the truth is that I want to tell you something. Yehuda, I spoke last night very well by the Neil Sechag, okay? And it was very good. It was very emotional. It was very good. Okay? And I got a phone call today from someone who told me that his learning was different today because of it. It's a big nachas call, right? It's very dangerous. It's very dangerous. You start drinking up the compliments, you start caring about the criticism. We're not in a spell. Not in a spell from the compliment. That's the healthy word is, I'm glad I helped you. Move on. Next thing. I have to speak for the Waterbury guys. Next. That's the healthy thing. To get too wrapped up, let me call my wife, or let me tell Yax. This guy called. He said I made a big difference in his life. You hear? Or Michael, you heard? I spoke to this guy. He said I made a big difference. That. So then, when the guy in shul is going around to say good Shabbos, good Yontif, and won't talk to me, you see how those two are related, right? The really healthy thing for me would be like you give a compliment. We accept compliments because it's our way of being a mensch. Thank you very much. It means a lot to me. Thank you for saying that because it means a lot. You know that. But if it's too much, and sometimes it is, sometimes I like a good compliment, you know?
Someone could be unhappy when someone says that.
No, there's a difference, though. There's a difference. I don't know if I could put it into words. There's a difference between accepting a compliment and feeling good about, and maybe this is the nakuda, and accepting a compliment and feeling validated from it.
Sick call.
Right? Right? That I think is the nakuda. There's a difference between accepting a compliment and feeling good about it, and accepting a comment and feeling validated by it. I don't need your compliment to make me feel like a good person or someone who's doing a good job. I love your compliment because it makes me feel good. If I do need your compliment, imagine what your criticism will do to me. You know I stole this, right? You know who I stole this from? No.
He's a Tumblr.
I gave this to Rabbi Wozniacki. I'll tell you who I stole it from. I stole it from Rav Kook.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Rav Kook was very much argued with in his time. The Rabbanim in his time, very, very, very much, they argued with his approach and everything. And there was one Rav that wrote a letter to him that mamish destroyed him. Okay, like he raked him over the... Mamish destroyed him. And Rav Kook responds to that letter. And when I read the response... I never told you about this? When I read the response to that letter, I made a copy of it, and I framed it, and I put it in my office. Okay? It is unbelievable. You have to read it. I'll send you a picture of it if you text me. Okay? It is unbelievable. Rav Kook writes to the person. He says, first of all... I wasn't planning really on responding to this letter, but I just saw how much pain a Talmud Chacham is in. And I thought maybe I could do something to alleviate your tzar. And then he writes a little bit about himself. And then he says, I want to tell you something. From the time that I really started to hook into learning Torah, I stopped needing people's compliments. And that alone is a very deep statement. Okay? He says, Memela, I also couldn't care less about their criticisms. I was like, that's amazing. That's the secret. Yeah, that's our sugya. The third thing, Rabbi Yisrael, and I'll let you go. We didn't expect it to go this way, right? The third thing, Rabbi Yisrael, for friendship, the third thing, I believe, is loyalty. We're loyal to our friends. We're loyal to our friends. Our friends don't have to be right. They don't have to have done... Your friend gets into an argument with someone. It doesn't mean that you go fight with him. It doesn't mean that. But we're loyal to our friends. Some... What? It could mean that. Okay? It doesn't necessarily mean that. I'm serious. It could mean that. But the point is... I'll give you an example. I know a guy that had a... He's in an institution, and he's a person that I'm loyal to. Okay? Someone else in the institution left, and that person reached out to me, wanted to meet me. I said no. I'm loyal to this person. Now, does that mean he's right, he's wrong? I don't care. I am loyal to this person. We are loyal to our friends. We don't have to... I want to tell you something. Two people get into a machlekes, they could go to a rav to figure it out. They could go to a judge to figure it out. They could go to a therapist to figure it out. But if I'm one of their friends, I'm not that guy. I am here for my friend. I am loyal to my friend. That's it. I'm a friend. What?
It's avoiding.
No, the thing is, if my friend is fighting and I join the fight, I may not be helping him. I may not be helping him. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's not always like that. Because sometimes it could be that... I'll give you an example. Let's say for me, right?
He can tell you, like, yeah, this is my fight.
What?
He can tell you in the book, this is my fight.
No, I don't mean that. I mean that sometimes a good friend says, hey, you know, take it down a notch. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just talking about... You know what I mean?
Okay, but if he doesn't want to take it down, then fight with him.
You mean like fight for him?
Yeah, it's like you fight with him. Yeah. If you say, yo, let's take it down a notch, he's like, nah, let's take it up mad notches.
I hear what you're saying. I'm not sure that a friend can't be, look, this is not my fight. I'm here for you. I'm not sure that, we're talking seriously. It's easy for me to agree with you. You know, it's easy to agree with you. And I'm not saying that it's never the case. There are times, you know, you start up with my friend, you're starting up with me. You know, certainly you start up with my, certainly you start up with Yaks, you're starting up with me. Okay? You know? You know what I'm saying? But there's a certain sense of loyalty that you don't get. And we make this mistake sometimes. People sometimes will reach out to someone's friend, like to try to almost pull them away and separate them. Don't mess with friendships. Friends are loyal to each other. I don't have to agree with my friends to be loyal to them. I could make decisions here in this shul that Rabbi Kalish disagrees with. I can make decisions in New York that he disagrees with. I can make decisions about my life that he disagrees with. Whether or not he tells me that he disagrees, that depends on where we're up to. But I know with 100% certainty that he will always be my friend. 100% certainty. I know right now, as I sit here right now talking to you, I know that this person will be my friend as long as I live. I know that. I have that complete, and that's because we're loyal to each other. And I think that that's the third thing. The first thing we said is curiosity. I'm interested in you. The second thing is that I don't judge you. K'maisha bi'arnu. And the third thing is that I stand with you. Whether I fight with you, we could discuss that. But I stand with you. I am your loyal friend. I am not getting involved. Okay? They come around with me with a paper. They want to put Durim and Cheirim. I'm not signing that paper, even if I don't agree with it. But even if I would agree with it, I'm not signing that paper because I am loyal to this person. I am a loyal friend. Okay? And if they come around with a paper that B'nai Shalom should not be a shul in Klal Yisrael, even if Rabbi Kalish is like, I don't know if you can't really imagine this, but Maisa, maybe it shouldn't be a shul in Klal Yisrael. I know that I will not see his name. If someone shows me a letter and Rabbi Kalish has signed on it and it's against me, I will look that person in the eyes without knowing anything. I will say this is a forgery. Right?
Yes.
That is loyalty. Okay? Yashar Koyach, guys. Yashar
You have been listening to a shiur from shasilluminated.org. For other shiurim on many topics, or to hear an Iyun shiur on any daf in Shas, including Maror Mekaymus on each shiur, please visit www.shasilluminated.org. To order CDs or for more information, please call 203-312-SHAS, that's 203-312-7427, or email info@shasilluminated.org.